telling us not to worry and be anxious. And the reality behind all of this is because he wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to know how good of a Father God it is that we serve. And when we come to the realization and the understanding that God is so absolutely amazing in our life, that is where the peace that surpasses all understanding can start to take form and shape in our life. Does that make sense? You see, when I start to think on things on my own mind, I start to get taken out. That's when I start to worry. I don't think I'm alone in this area, right? That's when I get anxious about, ooh, is this really going to happen? And a lot of times it's like, is it really going to happen the way I want it to happen? But when you get to the understanding that when your faith is so strong in God that you know that whatever's happening, it's ordered steps, and you just trust that it's going to be okay, now all of a sudden it takes out your mindset, shifts into God's mindset, and you now walk it out with joy. You walk out with peace and happiness, and you're able to walk out what we call the fruit of the Spirit, right? So for several weeks now, a couple months, we've been talking about the Holy Ghost, right? And the fruit of the Spirit and what the fruit of the Spirit does in our life. And so last week, Pastor Weldon brought an excellent message talking about growing up. And one of the things, just to recap a little bit, that he was saying is that every natural born baby, every baby that is born with all of the equipment needed to be able to go from infanthood to adulthood. Are you with me? And so, in like terms, the same thing is us as a Christian. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that moment, we're saved and we're given everything that we need in order to go to adulthood or maturity with Christ. Amen? So, we don't get this little tiny package. We get the full entire package. And that full entire package that we've been talking about is the fruit of the Spirit, those nine things: the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, right? The faithfulness, the long-suffering, temperance, to be able to do these things, the self-control. We have all of that. And then the Bible goes on and says, against such things, there's no law. Because in that, that's complete perfection. And we go in our own self, well, I can't walk out this life perfect. And that's why we need Jesus Christ in our life, because he gives us the perfection of everything to be able to walk that out. Are you guys with me so far? So, in other words, bringing this back around now, I want to carry on in kind of this mindset. How do we continue to grow up and mature as Christians? Because I'm going to tell you, one of the things that will take you out every step of the way is when your mind is always consumed with fear and doubt. When you are filled with fear and filled with doubt, you are so ineffective in life in general, because that fear now has taken over and it absolutely debilitates you. It stops you from going forth and walking into the true destiny of who you are, just as a human creation of God himself. We sell ourselves short of our full potential. So we find ourselves doing things to manufacture a way on how to feel good, because we can't figure out how to feel good within ourselves, because we're unhappy with ourselves. There's all kinds of things that now start to stem, and your whole life starts to turn into turmoil. It's like being caught in that riptide of a big wave or something, you know. You get sucked under and you just get tossed and tumbled and tumbled. And all throughout life now, you feel beat up. And it's like, I just don't even want to wake up today, because if I wake up today, it's just going to be the same thing over again. And so every aspect of your thinking is now negative. So God tells us in Philippians 4:8 to think on the good. Why? Because it's important to think on the good. Because when you think on the negative, that is what you get. Amen? So we know the scripture that says that we reap what we've sown, right? And every seed produces after its own kind. That's biblical principle, right? So if we are now sowing goodness, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, we are now reaping that. And it may not even be reaping it from an individual. But in turn, when you're kind, it releases the serotonin that is the natural feel-good chemical that God has given us, and we don't have to falsely manufacture it through Zoloft or Prozac or something like that. Are you with me? God has created all of this package out there so that we could be self-sufficient in these areas with Him as head over our life. Good. Hopefully, I'm just trying to tie these things in because we hear and we hear and we hear, but when something in life rears its ugly head, it's real easy to start now thinking on that issue, correct? And so we have to now get to the place where we preach ourselves happy. We have to take back from what the enemy has been trying to take and reinstill what God has already given us. Do you see, we don't have to recreate anything. It's already ours. And when we know that we know that we know that everything that we need in life has already been given to us, we no longer have to go to artificial means or anything else because the joy of the Lord is far greater than the joy in the world. Peace that God gives is far greater than any other peace that you can have. The rest in the Lord is far greater than any kind of restful sleep you can have at night. You could be up 48 hours straight and still feel restful and peaceful and joyful as long as it's in the Lord. When it's now everything else, who came in today a little sluggish and tired? A couple hands, right? I did too. But as soon as I got my mind off of that and got into worship, watch out. Refilled, refueled. Are you understanding? Because you start to move in the things of God instead of what's going on in your own head. So many of you know, except for maybe some visitors, maybe those listening online, I was a paratrooper in the Army. And so I want to talk just a little bit about how God works behind the scenes or is working on our behalf, but also about, you know, some things to relate it to. So I have 31 jumps out of a high-performance aircraft, and some people say, man, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I would tell you, straight to your face, yes, that is absolutely ridiculous thing to do. Unless you've got faith or trust in the parachute that you're jumping. Are you with me? Now, here's the thing. In those jumps that I did out of the aircraft, I went through school to become a jump master to be able to inspect the jumpers before they went out the aircraft, to be able to inspect the rear or the trailing aircraft behind the airplane to make sure that they weren't flying lower so that they didn't cut us in half when we jumped, right? I did all of this type of training, but the one thing I didn't do is I was not a person that packed the parachute. Now, in the Army, they called them riggers, parachute riggers. They rigged the equipment to be able to open up. So when we jumped, we had to have faith that that parachute was going to open. Who went and got into their vehicle today and knew with just, they just trusted that when they turned the key, the car was going to start? Is that pretty simple? I mean, is it pretty simple to believe that your car is going to start? It is, but you know that takes trust. Do you know that takes faith to know you're going to go out there and it's going to turn and start? Well, it's the same thing when I was jumping out of an airplane. I had to believe. Now listen, I never met the riggers that packed my parachute. I didn't work with them. I didn't know them. But I certainly was glad that they were doing their job on my behalf. I was certainly glad that I didn't have to pull a reserve parachute because in the military, you train at 800 feet. When you jump at 800 feet, a reserve really isn't that good because by the time it opens, you're just right above the ground and you're pretty much smack, splat. So although you can train the part, you're hoping with all of your heart that that parachute's going to open. Amen? So it took trust. Now with God, we have a little foot up on that. You see, I didn't know what the parachute riggers did, but I knew, or I didn't know them personally, but I knew what they did. But now, as a Christian, you know God, or you should make it a practice to try to get to know God, right? But the thing is not only the part of knowing Him, but He also lives in you. So not only do you know Him, and not only is He with you, but we've been given everything that we need according to the Word to know exactly what He does as well. And so this is where understanding that no matter what is going on in your life, He is working on your behalf. It may not look the way you want it to be right now, But that doesn't mean that he's sitting idly by going, whatever, it's just them. Actually, he's sitting by going, that's my child, covered by the blood of my son that gave his life for them, suffered and died for them. That is who. And because of that, you are so dear and special. A couple weeks ago, I said, because we are clothed in the robe of righteousness. That is what God sees. It's the clothing of God, of the righteousness of God himself over us. Amen. He doesn't want unnecessary things to take place unless these things are working out a plan for him in the bigger picture. So here's the thing. You've got to understand that no matter it may look rough or bad or not the way you want, God's plans are bigger and greater than your plans. And when you trust in that, that brings peace. That brings understanding. Yeah. Who's ever had a problem that, and they just really didn't like it? I just really don't like what's going on right now. Everybody, right? Being a Christian doesn't take you away from problems. But being a Christian gives you the ability to combat those problems effectively because of your trust, your faith, your understanding, your belief that Jesus Christ has set you free for a purpose and a reason. And no matter what it looks like right now, it's not the end. No matter what it looks like right now, that's not the end of the story, the song, or anything. I mean, it's a continuation. Because why? Because we got eternal life. I mean, it goes beyond just this little realm right here. I don't know what the day is going to look like. But God does, and he is working on your behalf. Amen? So growing up, I don't share a lot of these things because I'm a pastor and I'm perfect. So, so for the visitors that are here or watching, we're all ministers and none of us are perfect, right? Anyways, I don't share a lot of these things, but growing up, I grew up in an environment that was a tougher environment, okay, in the streets of Long Beach, California. And in that, because of choices that I made and things like that, I was in a lot of physical altercations. I fought a lot. Didn't win all of them. Actually, I probably lost most of them, but I fought a lot. And I got to a point where I liked it. It was exciting. It was adventurous. I had stories to tell. You know, hey, what's wrong with your face? Oh, man, you should see the other guy. You know, it's not an area of my life that I'm proud of, but it's an area of my life that has formed my character today. So because of that, I hold on to it, all right? From the streets of California to the United States military, I had many, many, many years of adventure and training and fighting and different things like that. And now I've gotten to the point where I realize I don't like to fight anymore. I'm over all of that. I don't like to physically fight. And when I got saved at Chaplain Chuck's house in a Bible study 12 years ago, I was sitting there and I said, clear as day, I'll never forget. I said, Lord, I've warred for the world. I want to war for you. And when I got saved, I took on the mindset that I was supposed to fight in the spiritual realm the same way that I fought in the natural. And that is not how it is, guys. You see, because it's our fighting that we do now isn't reliant upon us. So I'm kind of switching gears but staying in the thing. God is working on our behalf. Amen? And so in life, we think that many times everything that we have to do is something that we have to do. And we understand that we're not saved and made right by the right things that we do, right? We're right because of who? Jesus Christ. Period. Okay? So we have certain areas that we can grow up in, but I think what happens is we get very battle-weary as Christians, and this is where it starts to take away our faith and take away our trust in how God is working out, because it's like, I fought, and I fought, and I fought, and you know what? If you're not even willing to fight, I'm going to quit fighting for you too, because I'm tired of fighting. And I've had in the past misconceptions on how I am supposed to fight as a Christian. I've learned now that in the supernatural realm, I absolutely love to fight. But you see, I don't have to get myself all worked up and built up to do spiritual battle. I don't have to get loud. You know, you don't have to be loud and scream to cast out demons. Did you know you don't have to be loud and scream to cleanse the leper, heal the sick? Do you understand that? But you see, if we're not doing it in the natural that way, then how is it going to be effective in the supernatural? Well, that's our first problem. We're trying to figure out the supernatural with a natural mind. It don't work that way. God has already won the battle. He has already finished that process. We don't have to work ourselves up and pray really, really hard and loud and slam our fists down and jump up and down and grit our teeth and spit and all that stuff. We don't have to do that. Why? Because our God is greater. Yes. Our God is mightier than that. Yes. Our God is bigger than that. How big is our God? Does our God need us to defend him? No. So why do we think we need to go in prayer, our spiritual battle, in a form like we're going to defend him when he's already won the battle? Yeah. 2 Chronicles 20:15, King James Version. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is God's. Many places throughout Scripture, it says the battle is his. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, but I'm right in the middle of it. Yes, you are. But you're fighting from victory. You're not fighting for it. It's not something that you're striving to get. You've already got it.
Amen.
There's just something you need to do, and we'll get there in a minute. There's just something you need to do, and it's not really that hard. So fight, by definition, is a violent confrontation or struggle. Battle, by definition, is fight or struggle tenaciously to achieve or resist something. Fighting and battling is the same thing, and God says that the battle is his. So what the heck does all of that mean? So we look at things like 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, everybody say, I'm human. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, meaning it's not the fleshly things. The weapons of our warfare are not me standing up going, look how physically fit and strong I am. I can beat you up. It doesn't work that way. That's not our weapons of spiritual warfare. Are you with me? But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, the weapons of our warfare are divine. Yes. The weapons of our warfare are of God. Yes. It's nothing that we have done. Yes. It's because of him. Yes. We just utilize our trust, our faith, our belief, all the same thing, in him, and those battles now can be conquered throughout the day. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's your fight. You've got the world, you've got yourself, you've got loved ones coming up and saying, man, I don't know why you are so crazy in love with God, because he's let me down and he don't answer prayers. And I don't know who you think you are, because you're not walking that Christian walk, because I've seen so-and-so and they're a Christian, but you're not a Christian. And you may allow all of these horrible things to come in and you're not taking all of that captive and allowing the Christ in you to rise up. We allow all the things in the world around us to take us out of who we truly are. So I ask you, who are you? I'm a child of God. And nobody can change that, because in Romans 8:38, it says, nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You need to personalize that. You need to make that your own. You need to hold on to that so dear and deep and hard into your heart that says, you know what, I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what it looks like, because nothing can separate me from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus. Not you, not nobody, not anything in the world, nothing. No powers, no principalities, no height, no depth. Read it, Romans 8, 38, 39. Nothing can separate me from that. So who are you? I'm a child of God, and I am loved by God. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate me. Amen. How do we do this? That's a $1 million question. James 4:7 says, we submit to God. We resist the devil. And what does the devil do when you submit yourself to God? He flees. He takes off. Resist is the same word as withstand, which takes me into another scripture. Another scripture that has equipped us is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And this is so very powerful and pertinent that we understand this. Finally, my brethren, if you are writing in your Bibles or highlighting on your phones, underline or highlight some of these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong, underline it. In the Lord, underline it. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor, underline it, of God, that ye may be able to stand, underline it, against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We just heard that somewhere, didn't we? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, underline it, of God, that you may be able to withstand, which also means resist, underline it, in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, underline it. Verse 14, stand, underline it. Therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking on the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay. All right. What is our job, and what have we been equipped with? Our job as a Christian, let's start from the beginning, is to be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, not in your buddy, not in your spouse. Our job is to be strong in the Lord. Because when you are strong in the Lord, everything else lines up. If I was weak in the Lord and my wife Stephanie was strong in the Lord, our marriage would not be the same. We would be what people will call unequally yoked. Because one would be strong, I would be weak, and we would be faltering or fighting in areas. But when you personally are strong in the Lord, that matures you up so that you're not the infant, you're not the toddler, the child, the adolescent, but you're mature in Christ. So your first job is to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Strong in the Lord. How do you get there? Probably do message series on this whole entire thing. How do you get there? You grow up in God. You put Him first. You seek His face. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to necessarily talk about armor, but I want to talk about whole. So, what is the armor of God? The armor of God is truth. If you're writing it, this is the armor of God. There's a lot of words in there that fill things up, but this is the armor of God. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and word of God. That's the armor. So we think about, well, I'm going to put the helmet on and I'm going to get a shield. Get rid of your mindset of the helmet and understand salvation. Get rid of the mindset of the shield and understand that you need faith. Don't allow the wordiness of that to take you to a place that says, well, I'm not really understanding. What's the shield and how do I do this? No, it's the faith part of that that corrects everything. And what does it say about faith? It says that faith, above all, take the shield of faith. Your faith is your trust. Your faith is your belief. Do you see, when you take the shield of faith, the faith part of that now brings you into a place to understand your salvation. Because there's people who would say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or I'm not saved because they're not sure if they believe. Faith is the belief. That's number one thing. You have to take faith. You cannot be a Christian without faith. Faith and Christianity go hand in hand. It's what makes everything work. And from there, everything stems out. So now, because I got faith in God, I've got peace. Another part of the armor. Because I've got peace and the faith of God, I understand the truth. Because I get into the Word, the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. And then I also have the righteousness, because my faith tells me that I'm right with God, not by things that I do. Do you see? But if you only think you're right, but yet your faith wavers, your righteousness falters. You may have peace, but as soon as something rears its ugly head and tries to steal the truth and you don't have the truth, then the peace is gone. Does that make sense? You may believe you're saved and you've got this helmet of salvation on, but all of a sudden somebody comes against you and points something out in the Word and says, well, you can lose your salvation. And all of a sudden you get all, oh, what have I done? I've lost it now. Listen, you don't have the full armor. The full armor says that you're righteous. Not because of something you did. You're righteous because of what He did. Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't say put on partial armor of God. Put on a piece of the armor of God. It says put on the whole armor of God. Because the whole armor of God is the full package of who you are as a child of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Our job in all of that is to stand. Is to stand. I'm going through this life. It looks really rocky. There's a lot of things happening. I don't care. I have the full armor of God on, and I'm going to stand. Someone in your life, dear to you, something happens to them. It seems hopeless, endless. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to stand because I got the whole armor of God on. You've been diagnosed with something that you don't want. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to stand because I got the whole armor of God on. It doesn't matter what it is. When you understand the armor of God, and when you've put your hope, your faith, your trust, you receive the peace, you know you're righteous, you know you're saved, everything else lines up.
Amen.
And I stand. And so some scientific facts I close with, and I leave you with this. And I hope this sinks in. Because what does fear do? It stops you, right? Fear is debilitating. Remember that. Fear is debilitating. The only fear that anyone is ever born with is the fear of loud noise and the fear of falling. That is the only thing innate. That is the only thing inherent that you are born with. Every human being born with two things. The fear of loud noises. Hey! Yes. And the fear of falling. Everybody stand up. Don't catch yourself. Nobody catch yourself. Listen. I'm a paratrooper. Listen. Nobody catch yourself, all right? Put your hands behind your back and just fall face first. Sit. Have a seat. Listen. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises are the only fears God-given that you were born with. God-given that you were born with. So I'm here to tell you that if you've got a fear of public speaking, if you've got a fear of whatever it may be, if you've got a fear of flying, a fear of driving, a fear of eating, a fear of whatever, a fear of spiders, a fear of snakes, whatever it may be, that is learned fear. And anything learned, you can unlearn. So if you have a fear that pertains to God, and I'm not talking about a reverent fear on the awesomeness of God, but a fear that says, oh my gosh, I just don't think I'm going to make it and I'm going to hell or something like that, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you need to realize that that is a lie from the enemy and a pit of hell. And you need to learn the truth and fix yourself on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Amen? Now stand to your feet. We're not going to fall. We'll close in prayer. Father, we don't know the we don't know the ins and outs of life. We don't, God, I don't even claim to feel like I'm going to try and understand it. I know in your word in Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to you. But those things that have been revealed belong to us in the generations to come. So, Father, I thank you for your word that is revealed to us, Lord. Not what tomorrow will bring, but that today is good enough. And that today we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because today is a gift. And today is special. And today is something that we shouldn't waste. So, Father, I thank you that you have equipped us with the whole armor of God. I thank you that you have given us everything that we need, Father, that pertains to life and godliness. And God, it is on this day, I thank you that we don't have to ask for the blessings. We're already walking in them. Father, thank you that we are a partaker of this kingdom life with you. And I give you all the praise with my brothers and sisters here today and all the glory for everything that you do. Father, those that do not know you, I pray that they would come into a realization of how powerful you are in our lives. And Father, that they would know that you are such a good Father and a good God that you forgive and you make new. So Father, for those that come to you and just say, Lord, I'm yours, I thank you that you make them new, that you fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. And all in agreement, we just say, amen. Amen. God bless you.